All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, good morning. June 1st, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. There is a hint of burning plastic in the air. I don't know what's going on. There is a air advisory. Something's burning. Right? Something is burning, and it's stinking to join up. So if you're in our area, I don't know. Might have to put masks on today. I don't know what's going on, but definitely something weird. And I'm not a conspiracy. Just something. Somebody's burning something or something happened. Because I can definitely smell it in the air, which is weird. But anyway, not a big deal. It's still a beautiful day. It is the first day of June, so we are headed into summer. My life is full, right? My life is full, and I couldn't be any more happy. My biggest challenge right now is to stop talking about paddling. I'm trying not to be that guy, right? My ego's involved a little bit. My ego is proud of us. Ego loves what we are up to. You know, I've said before, and I'll say it again, it's always trying to find ways to be unique, right? Whether it's how I dress, the clothes that I wear, the car that I drive, the people that I surround myself with, the places that I eat, you know, it's all logos and symbols and, you know, cultural sort of things. And, you know, it's weird. And so, you know, I love to run, you know, but I also used to love it run at 5:30 in the morning, take a sunrise picture. It's beautiful, but if I'm going to be honest, right, if I'm going to be accountable, you know, I want to be the guy that takes the coolest, unique, earliest picture in the morning, right? I mean, I love to take pictures and I love to post them, but there is a slice of me, there is a piece of me that does want to be the greatest 5 a.m. photographer that ever existed. And, we don't have a meeting about it, right? It's not a open discussion, but I think it's something inside, right? And so anytime that I get to do something unique or that's, yeah, that's unique. I sort of get really proud of it. And this is one of them. You know, paddling has become one of them, and I'm really enjoying it. Ego gets to have its moment, right? It's funny that you know, it's funny because we go out in this boat, right, and we're paddling, right? We're paddling around, and there's all these beautiful scenic shots, right? There's a lighthouse and the wall and all the beautiful birds that live in this ecosystem on this big breaker wall that prevents the big waves from coming in. And, you know, it's just this amazing place out there in the sort of out in the Lewis Bay River opening, whatever it is. And, but you can't take any pictures, right? Because we're paddling. we're out there paddling. So part of me is like, can we stop so I could take a picture? But I'm not there for the picture, right? I'm there for the paddle. So it's a funny little battle that goes on with the paddle. All right, that's enough. That's enough of that. But I am enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. We have a big race coming up this weekend. You know, it's fun to be part of something. Just like when I got sober, right? It makes doing things like that a little more fun because you're part of something in a group, right? You're in a group text, right? And so it's cool. Saturday will be a good, fun race for us, and then we'll see how the rest of the summer goes. But I'm definitely enjoying that. And so yesterday I did a podcast, and you know, I shared a little bit of my story, right? And I listened to the podcast, and part of me was like, "Geez, you're a dumb shit, Tom." You know, like all the wonderful opportunities that you had in life, and you took that route, right? And ended up where you ended up, which wasn't in a great spot, right? And just sort of embarrassed, right? Just sort of embarrassed that I could get so freaking far off the beam in life that I ended up, you know, where I was in that going to jail, right? And but even going to jail for me wasn't even that bad, right? It was a camp, West Fork. It was in the woods, right? It was like a camp. It was a big camp. It was a fire camp, right? You know, the guys that work on the fire lines, that's where they would stay in the fire season. And it was, you know, these dorms and cabins. It was actually pretty freaking sweet, right? If I'm going to jail, that's the place to go. What I didn't like, or what was most upset, was my disease being taken away from, or being removed from, my ability to get my, the thing that I like to do, right? My self stuff, right? My self-centered stuff. And self really had the biggest problem. But once I got settled in, man, it wasn't bad. Really, but just still embarrassed by my whole life, really, up to that point. I'm sort of have a lot of shame about it, but not that bad, right? I've moved on. You know, this program allows me to clean that up, right? Make my amends, you know, take a look, see what got me there in the first place, right? And, you know, greed played a role in that, right? You know, there's always this, you know, ability to try to create revenue through doing certain things. And for me, the revenue counter gets going a little crazy, right? I'm like, man, if I can make this and I do this much, I can make this if I did this much. You know, I'm starting that greed, right? Greed wants more, more, more. And so that was behind it. So, you know, these steps, this moral inventory and doing these fifth steps and doing the fifth step allow me to see what got me to that point. I don't know if I'd had that information early on that it would have helped. I don't think so. As embarrassed as I am about some of my past, I don't regret it, right? I wouldn't change a thing, right? I was watching, you know, reading, I don't know, TMZ. I think that Danny Masterson, I think his name was, he was on that 70s show, was just convicted of rape, right? It's like he must have lived just this crazy, amazing life, right? But he got to a place where he felt like these kind of certain behaviors were okay. You know, you can't get too much too soon, right? Because who knows what could happen. And I don't know the story. I didn't follow the case, but it did say he was found guilty. So, you know, that's unfortunate for the victim or whatever it was. And you know, and I'm sure at some point he'll go, how did my life get to this point, right? And so it's like this, you know, like that Wren, you know, you get the brightest of the light has the darkest of the dark on the backside. And so, you know, I don't regret any of my life or the things that I've done, because I think it has taught me and led me to this program where I can learn and hopefully try to keep the rest of my life, right, this last chunk, pretty stable, right? Pretty cool, pretty calm. I'm just, you know, just very grateful. It is, it's been a freaking interesting ride for sure. don't know what song that is. Well, it's Good Friday, Black Crowes, but man, that wasn't the song I was trying to play. I love, you know, it's so, you know, I always, obviously I play a song usually during these podcasts, and I love how sometimes, like, you know, you, it's like the daily reflections, you know, I'll talk about something, you know, that's sort of going on in my life, and then the daily reflections will sort of reflect on what I sort of been going through, and that happens a lot in music as well. And so I will find, you know, people have asked me, does the song, do you find the song or the, or you talk about what you want to talk about first? And I said, I just talk about what I want to talk about, and then I just find a song. And then sometimes they just sort of seem like the perfect match. So that was, I did not pick that song, but that was a great song, and it seemed like a perfect match. And, but you know, the point really what I was wanting to talk about was just this, you know, listening to that podcast yesterday and just thinking about where I was at, right? Where, how far I had gone down. Now, if you would look at my life like through an adult, like her parents or, you know, someone in an authoritative figure, you would think he has really a bad life, right? I did have a very bad life in their eyes. But then I also had the life in my eyes, right? And we did have a lot of fun. My life wasn't always that bad, right? You know, I was working. It's like someone said, and I think I said this, you know, how long does it take to get better? However long it took you to get there, right? However long it took you to get into the forest, that's how long it takes to walk out, right? And there was a time in my life where, yeah, we would party, right? You know, if something came around, like a little speed showed up, we would do it, right? It wasn't our motivation. At one point, girls were my motivation, right? We used to go down to San Diego and hang out with the chicks and just have a lot of fun. And, you know, if we ended up doing some, a little this or that, you know, it wasn't the end of the world, right? We definitely did our drinking, right? Ended up in bars and beaches and doing our drinking. But like if the other stuff did show up, right, hey, it's going to be a different night, right? And then this transition happened where really the drugs and the alcohol became more important than the girls, right? Sort of lost interest in that. It always was about the partying, and then you transition into that world. But my life wasn't always that bad. It just sort of got bad at the end, right? And but at the end, it was pretty bad, right? It doesn't, there might have, I can definitely remember times thinking, I don't know how I'm ever going to get out of this, right? How am I ever going to get to a point where I'm a normal person, right? Where I might have a family. I mean, at this time, there was no thought of having a family. I could barely hold a relationship together. I could barely hold a job together. So, I mean, and I remember very clearly at this time in my life, I said I didn't want any kids. I didn't want to get married, and I didn't want any kids. I think I knew. You can't. At this, the way you are right now, there's no chance. And but at some points, it seems hopeless, right? It just seems like there's no way of getting out. Even if I, you know, I think I thought, even if I quit doing everything, it's still just hopeless because I, you know, and this is prior to obviously doing a program, so I was obviously a victim of life, right? Zero accountability. So I'm like, I have no hope, right? I'm destined to be this bum. And my parents help us out, right? They help us out so that we can survive. They don't help us out so we live a luxury life, right? You know, they were covering the important things. And I think that was just to keep us out of their house, right? I just think they didn't want us living with them. So, you know, helping out with rent. But I did, you know, I had a few jobs, but I lost them. It was terrible. And so I just didn't feel like I had any hope. And coming to Delaware when I did, and, you know, and I shared this yesterday, you know, we finally got to Delaware in February 4th, 1994. Wow. February 4th, 1994, we got here. And that would be where you step off and start digging, right? Because I was at the bottom. And they always say, you can go farther. That's where I went farther. You know, I stepped off of the elevator and I started digging deeper because that's when I would lose this relationship with that drug that I was doing, and now all of my focus would turn on to alcohol, and I would become a really a daily drinking bum, right? But still working, right? We hear this a lot, right? I had a job, right? If I have a job, I'm not as bad as I think I am. Nope. I was a daily drinking bum. And if I wasn't drinking, it's because I drank way too much or something, or I had stitches or something, right? You know, or I'd gotten a DUI, because I did get a DUI. And, you know, it's just, it's the bottom of the bottom. And at that point in my life, and especially under the influence, which was every night, I would really deep dive into how crummy my life was and how little hope I had. And it's pretty sad, you know. I know a lot of people kill themselves in these moments, unfortunately. I get it. You don't feel like there is hope, right? We become, you know, all of a sudden the reality is that, you know, our life has become unmanageable for everybody else. And I, you know, I did go to the meeting last night. It was a great meeting. I love that meeting. And the guy that was leading it for the month has been around for a long time, I think 30-something years. And he just knows how to manage a meeting, which I love. And like on the half hour, we pass a basket, you know, in accordance with the seventh tradition, right? And then, but he says, hey, at this point, we want all people with under a year to share. But he knows them all, right? He calls them out. And so it's become this thing that, you know, when we reach the halfway point, these folks with under a year, they know they're going to be talked. They're going to be talking, right? Because my buddy at the front, he doesn't let any of them get by. He says, listen, if we can't hear you, we can't help you. And it was just so great to hear all these young, and not even young folks, just all these people that are young, new into the program with, you know, less than 100 days, right? And it was just a really cool moment. But one of the things that I was thinking about because of that was this, you know, the first step. And, you know, a lot of times you'll hear people say, you know, like, you know, my life was clearly unmanageable, right? I'd lost my family, I'd lost my job, I'd lost my car, right? And, you know, I've said this before, and don't take offense, but that's how a self-centered person thinks. That's how I thought. I'm a victim. I'm a victim of alcoholism. Look at me. I lost everything, right? My buddy Steve said the other day, he didn't lose his house. He gave it away. He still knows where it's at. It just isn't his anymore. I thought that was funny because he is. That's a guy being absolutely responsible for the situation that he's in, right? Some people say, I lost my house. No, you didn't lose it. You gave it away. You drank it away, right? And so that transition, and I shared last night, I said, you know, the biggest thing that I've taken really from this program, and I can't say that because you need all of it, right, to see this one thing, but the accountability part, right? Becoming accountable has been the game changer for me. And, you know, I shared last night, you know, in my early life, it was everybody else's fault. Maybe in the middle of my life, it was a few people's fault, but still mostly everybody, or maybe a couple times my fault, but mostly everybody's fault. Today, you know, I say that everything that goes on in my life is my fault. You know, I play a role in it. I have to be responsible for the role that I play in everything that happens in my day, or I become a victim to it. And so listening to folks talk about, you know, the first step and how their life is unmanageable, you know, really their life became my life became unmanageable to everybody else, right? Because my parents had enough, my employer had enough, my neighbors had enough, everybody had enough except for me, right? I'm the last one to show up to the party, to that party at least, because they'd all had it. But a self-centered person like myself, I think, I've had, clearly my life's unmanageable because everybody's mad at me, right? It's not the case. It's that transition from that self-centered person to trying to find some humility. And I think, and it talks about it in that fifth step, really. It's really that transition, becoming accountable, realizing the part that we played, realizing that we played a part in just about everything that's happened in our life, right? I mean, you know, and I think the ultimate thing at the back end is the forgiveness, right? How can we forgive if we can't figure out the part that we played in it? And one of the big things that we have to forgive is ourselves, right? And so in the end, you know, at the bottom, I was just this person that I felt like I had no hope, right? I had no place to go. It was never going to get better. I was stuck. And, you know, the first day I stopped drinking, I started feeling a little bit better, right? A little bit of hope creeped in. And you know, that's the magic. That's the wonderful thing that's so awesome about this program is that if you do Like my buddy says, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it will all work out. He used to say, if you do not put a drink in your mouth, you are available to try anything. Anything. How about line dancing? Do you know how to line dance? I do not. You can try it, right? You can do it, right? Because before it'd be like, yeah, I'd like to try line dancing, but I'm drunk. So let me do, I'm either not going to do it or I'm going to do the drunk try. And that always is a fucking mess. And then you're embarrassed, ashamed, and you know you can't do the line dancing. So, but when you don't put that drink in your mouth, you can try anything, right? That's like me paddling. I'd have never paddled. My physical shape back in my drinking days was not very good. So paddling was out of the question for sure. But today, you know, there's nothing on me that says I should be paddling, right? I have no Hawaiian ties. Not that you have to have Hawaiian ties to paddle a boat. But, you know, that's these guys, the Tahitians and the Hawaiians. And, you know, they're just amazing people, right? But they've really figured out how to do this paddling. And they sort of lead the way when it comes to paddling. And, you know, if an untreated, non-programmed Tom had looked at paddling before, I'd been like, I can't do that. I can't be that good, so I'm not going to do it at all, right? I can't be the most amazing, unique paddler. I'm not doing that, right? I'll look like a fool, right? And today, I don't care, right? I'm like, I love to try to do that. I don't care what you think of me. I'm trying it, right? And but sometimes, right, ego gets a little excited, right? And, you know, I feel like I've been talking about a lot of paddling, so we'll move on from that. But yeah, I guess the whole point of today, my share is really is that, you know, it seems hopeless. If it seems hopeless, there's hope, right? You can still, you know, as long as you're not drinking and going to and you're trying to get to the meetings, you have a chance, right? You can come back. The guy that March 31st, 1997, that slob was in bad shape, right? And even though that I got sober, I still was a bit of a slob in bad shape. And I remember the first, you know, I was sober for a bit, right? Getting better. The first thing I wanted to fucking do, quit smoking. I've shared about this in the podcast. Quit smoking was my goal. I hated it. Fucking hated smoking cigarettes. I hated the way they smell. I hated the way they, you know, and this is a time where they were starting to ban smoking from certain places. So now you started feeling like you were pushing out, like you were an outcast. You had to go outside, you know, and they became expensive. I hated it. And so 1999, I quit smoking, right? And I started running. And I've shared before, run to the corner, walk 3 laps. You know, it was just little steps, but I was making progress. I was climbing out of that hole. And I'm just so grateful. And today, man, I live an awesome, pretty awesome life. You know, could it be better? I guess if I had more money, but if we had more money, we'd do more things and then we'd be miserable by the disappointment and the shit that we were doing, which I hear all the time, right? Yeah, we went here. It was so the traffic and the people and blah, blah. It's like, stay home. Stay home. It's easy there. It's no problem at home. Let's see. Let me read the daily reflection. And then I got to go to work. Man, I got to go to work. Work. All right. A changed outlook. June 1st. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. How cool would that be, right? Freaking awesome. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 84. When I was drinking, my attitude was totally selfish, totally self-centered. My pleasure and my comfort came first. Now that I am sober, self-seeking has started to slip away. My whole attitude towards life and other people is changing. For me, the first A in our name stands for attitude. My attitude is changed by the second A in our name, which stands for action. By working the steps, attending meetings, and carrying the message, I can be restored to sanity. Yeah, it's just what I was saying, right? There it goes. That's what I'm talking about. How all of a sudden it just completely, that's so cool, Restored to sanity. Action is the magic word. With a positive, helpful attitude and a regular AA action, I can stay sober and help others to achieve sobriety. My attitude now is that I am willing to go to any lengths to stay sober. Absolutely. I love that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. That is, when I was drinking, my attitude was totally selfish, self-centered. My pleasure and comfort came first. Now that I am sober, self-seeking has started to slip away. Right. That's right. That's very cool. Well, I mean, does anybody relate, right? Did you come from a point where you thought it was hopeless, right? You know, I know this happens a lot with relationships, you know, and with kids. And, you know, I remember when my first wife left and took our son, I was like, I've become that guy, right? I'm the guy that lost his kid, right? I'm the guy that can't put down the bottle long enough to raise his family. I'm the guy that the family walks out on, right? I'd heard about it, right? I'd heard about it before, but now I was the guy. Because, you know, when I got sober in 97, I wasn't married. I had nothing, right? And then I worked my way back, right? I worked my way to a place I'd never been, which is sort of, I don't want to say successful, but successfully keeping a job and a family, right? But, you know, when I picked that drink up in Eastern Maryland, you know, the first casualty were going to be my wife. And then we had our baby, and then they left, right? But I become that guy, and I'm like, how am I ever going to get out of this? And I remember early on, because that, you know, it was about 2 weeks later that I went up to that rehab up in York, Pennsylvania, and I came back and called my buddy Matt, and I said, I need help, and he became my sponsor. And from that day on, it was a slow grind out of the hole. And I remember early on, I was wanting to see my son. I wanted to see my boy. And, you know, my ex-wife was like, you know, I can't trust you. And I'm like, then let me have visitation at my parents, right? I'm not drinking, right? I am not drinking, but I understand, right? Because I've clearly drank in the past, and you have every reason to worry. So I tell you what, why don't we do, like, visits with my, you know, I'll visit, have my son over to my parents' house, and, you know, that way it'd show you I'm not drinking, right? I had to humble myself. I had to bend down and beg, right? Because I love my kids, and I didn't want to lose them to this stupid disease. So first thing I did is put down the bottle. I got my sponsor, started going to meetings, and I just started to fucking eat crow warm, right? Eat that shit up, because I am sorry. And I got to be better. And so you make the rules, I'll follow them. And not, you know, not a bunch of rules, but my wife's like, listen, if you want to see your son, do it at your parents for a while. Let me make sure you've got your shit together, Tom. I said, okay, right? I could have fought, right? I could have been a victim, but it was my fault. You know, I love when people get all upset when they have to do certain things because of the behavior that they've had that got them to the place where they're at. Right? You know, it's either don't see your kids or see them with your parents so that your ex-wife knows that you're not drinking. Go along with the program. You've brought this on to yourself. Oh, yeah, you're right. I accept it. It is my fault. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I'm just going to make the best of it. And so, you know, and I've shared today my son lives with me, right? Not because his mom is bad, right? His mom's fine. It was about school and locations and stuff. But obviously the trust is back, right? It's been a long time. 16 years since I had a drink, right? 17 years since I had a drink on his birthday because I was in that rehab, but changed my date two years later because of the pain pills. And, you know, whatever. I got today, right? So, you know, if you're worried or stressed or, you know, feeling down in a hole, right? You're feeling like it's hopeless, just don't, right? Just don't pick up a drink. Go to a meeting. Just do the next right thing. Do the best you can, one day at a time. It takes forever. There is no shortcuts. It is exactly, you get what you get, and, you know, you can't do it too quick, right? You have to just keep showing up one day at a time, and it'll all work out. Hey, thanks for letting me share. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Yesterday.
tomorrow. I am busy, and what it is.